Hey, good morning, gardeners. Is it cold enough for you? Now, we don't get to say that one very often around here. According to what I'm looking at the weather, it says that it's somewhere around 36. But because of the breeze, it feels like it's freezing out. And it was freezing last night. Now, it wasn't like it was the last couple of days. It was warmer, comparatively speaking, but we still had frozen weather. So you're going to be checking it out today. and you're probably going to see some leaf damage. Okay, no big deal. Cut off the damage. Most of the winter garden plants will recover and put on new growth. They may look horrid for a little bit. I've got a pile of sorrel that looks like somebody, I don't know, chopped up a head of lettuce and just dumped it on the ground to rot because all the leaves froze. But the crown of the plant is still producing new leaves. Now, this is like 5-year-old sorrel plant, so that's pretty well established. And it's a pretty large plant. I really, really like it, both for what it looks like and for what it tastes like. Nothing better in cold weather like this than sorrel soup. It's warming. It's got that lemony flavor. It's so tasty. Very fulfilling. It's a great herb to have in your garden. So what is going on right now for the gardener? Well, the first thing I want to talk about is if you started seeds, and depending on what you started them in, I know lots of people are real big fans of do them in an egg carton. Okay. Do them in a yogurt cup. Do them in a leftover container. I happen to have a seed tray. And you know what? I still run into the same problem. My seed tray holds 50 cells, 50 individual little pots. And each one of these individual little pots is 2 inches wide and 2 inches long. And they're more than deep enough for a seed to start. I got a good potting mix and I got great success on my germination rate. I got plants coming up and they look fantastic. Well, the problem is, and this is a good problem to have, folks, most of my started seeds are now overtaking the size of the container I have them growing in. They need a larger container to not be root bound. Could I leave them yet? Yeah, sure. Sure, but I really want these plants to get maximum growth before I put them in the ground. I want them to hit the ground running so I don't have to wait till they decide to flower or wait till they decide to set fruit. And in that period of time, I'm not happy leaving them in the little 2-inch by 2-inch tray. So what we do is we call it potting up. We're going to take the start and we're going to move it to a slightly larger pot. Now, one advantage of doing this, especially with tomatoes, is that you can lift out your small start, put it in a larger container. Now, I have a 2-inch by 2-inch cell starting these in. Leftover 4-inch pots are 4 by 4. That is 4 times the volume of the little 2-inch square, which means that plant's got a lot of room to grow. And it could really get big and healthy and ready to go so that come last freeze, which is when I'm going to plant, I'm going to have a really big transplant, big and healthy and green, and who knows, it may even be setting flowers already. When you pot something up, you do not need to go from a little 2-inch pot to a 1-gallon container. In the case of tomatoes, it really doesn't matter. Tomatoes will be fine with that. But if you don't happen to have a whole bunch of 1-gallon containers, just moving to a 4-inch will make a big difference. Now, I'm sort of recycling. I have 1/2-gallon milk cartons, and I laid them on their side so that the spout faces down. and I cut open the sides of the milk carton. It holds two pretty big healthy tomatoes for me. I've got one that's holding two peppers for me. Filled up this cardboard carton with potting soil. I take it out of the 2 inches and I put two tomatoes in each one of these cartons that are laying on their side full of a good potting soil. Now, I got carried away. I planted 10 seedlings of 4 different kinds of tomatoes, I believe. And I don't have room for 40 tomatoes. But I planted them that way anyway. And I'm using these milk cartons because, you know, when they're empty, I throw them away. So I'm sort of recycling. I have the small half and half containers. Just cut the top off of those. They make a slightly bigger than 4x4 container. And it works really well. I have peppers in those. So potting up is giving the plant more room to grow. Now, here's the problem, and you have your own choice of how you want to resolve it. In each of those 2-inch cells, I have 2 seeds. And in almost every one of those 2-inch cells, both seeds germinated. So I pull out the 2-inch plug, the 2-inch potted plant, and I have 2 easy options here. I can very carefully try to tease both plants apart. Now understand their roots are pretty tangled up. So as I'm trying to carefully pull them apart, it can be done. I'm well aware it can be, but it takes time and labor. I'm going to separate them, and I've got 2 plants, and I already have more tomatoes than I can plant and in the space that I have. So I'm just really creating pots for friends. I'm going to give friends tomatoes. Now, that's how you could do it. I took a shortcut. I pulled it out of the container. I transplanted it. The 2 plants, same 2 plants in the same piece of dirt. And when I got them into the new containers, and I was sure they were fertilized and moisture and proper depth and all that. Remember, tomatoes can be planted deeper than the roots are. They'll make new roots up the stem. I looked at the 2 plants and I tried to figure out which one was the stronger, more developed plant. And once I figured out which one of those was the best of the 2, I took my fingernails and I pinched off the weak sister, the one that wasn't doing as well. Yeah, I killed it. You cannot be a good gardener if you can't kill a plant. It's just a rule, folks. So rather than bother trying to separate them when I didn't need to the number 2, I didn't need 2 of these tomatoes. What I did is I simply pinched off the one that wasn't doing as well as the other. And now I have only 1 tomato in the container growing. And the roots of the one I pinched off are going to decompose and feed back the tomato that I left. Kind of a nice combination there. I still have a whole bunch I'm giving to friends and family, folks, so don't worry about that. But 2 plants in the same hole are not necessarily a good thing. Folks, this is Gardening Naturally. We're up against a break. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. You know, I got a good question here. Someone has texted me, and I'm sorry, there's no way to say there's a great answer to this. Let's say that you on your property had someone intentionally or unintentionally plant some plants you don't want. Ligustrum. They volunteer. They get transplanted by the birds as much as they do by people. Hackberries. Oh, number 1 fence destroyer in America. I swear that it's the worst of the worst. So how do you keep them gone. Well, unfortunately, it requires a situation where it's a constant war. There is no single battle to be won when dealing with these kind of plants. Plants can take sunlight through the use of their leaves and convert carbon dioxide and water into oxygen, water, and sugar, carbohydrates, food for the plant. If you are super dedicated endlessly to removing leaves from that plant, you will, in time, starve it. That's not next weekend, unfortunately, but the constant cutting back any green growth flush to the ground, the constant taking a shovel, or like I have a tree puller device, my puller bear, pulling out as much as you can, as often as you can, and you can win the battle. It is unfortunately neither quick nor easy. And I gotta tell you, it seems that hackberries and ligustrums really do appear to be somewhat immune to things like Roundup. Now, you can spray them, and you will damage them, but the root mass they have is so big, they can recover and grow back new in a relatively short period of time. So we're back to, even using the chemical sprays, the best bet is to go out once a week with a good pair of pruners and cut any growth you see flush to the ground weekly, not monthly. Weekly. You do not want to see green leaves. This works whether it's a ligustrum, a hackberry, a poison ivy, poison oak, any of the plants that you'd like to get rid of. No leaves makes no food. No food starves the plant and you can kill it. I'm sorry, it's not an easy answer. It isn't just spray this or just do this. Nature is pretty resilient, and there's a way to beat her. There's a way to get to this solution. It's just not just do this thing and you're good. No, it is, like I said, it's a continuing battle, and you do not get victory in one battle. Really is terrible to say that. I'm sorry, but this is what happens. Let's go to the phone. This is Bob. Bob's going to ask a question that's going to also pertain to getting rid of some of these plants. What's up, Bob?
Good morning. Several months ago, you spoke of a method of removing tree stumps. Drill a half-inch diameter hole in the stump, put fertilizer in it, a little moisture, and then let things happen. Is that method appropriate for a stump that's 3 or 4 inches in diameter and is about 3 feet tall? What I have chosen to do is to remove some undesirable hackberry as well as some post oak. And due to my being somewhat lazy, I don't cut it down at the bottom at the earth. I cut it about waist high because that's a convenient location for me to use my reciprocating saw. So I end up with a stump that's about 3 feet tall and about 3 or 4 inches in diameter. Is your half-inch drill hole method still appropriate for a stump like that?
Not necessarily, Bob. Now, I'm not going to say it's not going to work. You still want to address adding the holes and fertilizer as close to the crown of the plant as you can. Because if you do this at the top of a 3-foot stump, you're going to take forever to rot the plant down to where you're actually killing the leftover roots at all. So you may be rotting out that top 3 feet, and it may do what you want it to do, but down at the bottom, you may get a whole bunch of new water spouts and a plant that suddenly can turn around and go, hey, I got sunshine, I got leaves, I'm going to make food, I am going to make myself stronger. And now you got to deal with a healthier version of the plant you don't want and have to get rid of it. Now, I don't think you need to cut this flush to the ground. You can take your drill and drill as close to the ground as you can those same holes and pack them the same way. You'll probably wind up rotting off the top of the stump pretty easily, but you want to really get those fungi in where the crown is so they can start eating the roots out of the plant also and reduce its ability to put on anything new. Same rules apply, Bob. No leaves, no food, no plant. So you got to be pretty aggressive that if you're going to leave that stump there, you're going to see, especially a stump that's tall, a bunch of brand new water spouts, and you're going to have to deal with them. So not saying you can't do it the way you're doing it, but you may be more effective sooner by cutting it flush and cut it and drilling those holes into the very crown that's left over.
Well, yes. The problem is, of course, the labor involved for me to get out on my hands and knees and cut it off close to the surface. And so it's just so convenient for me just to cut it off waist high. I've had some good luck through the years just by cutting it at waist high and leaving it. And then in about 2 or 3 years, it all rots out, and you can just go over and shake it loose and pull it out of the ground.
Okay, you're a little luckier than I am, although I have had a couple that were like entwined in a fence, so I couldn't cut them flush without having to cut up the fence and things like that. So I think you can be successful, but in the big picture, yeah, I get the bending over parts. One of the reasons I bought a new chainsaw. I sure got tired of trying to use a handsaw or my recip saw. It just didn't cut wood fast enough for me. I don't think you're going to fail, Bob. It just may take a bit longer doing it the way you want. Hey, welcome back, everybody. Seems to be a thread here. How do you get rid of a stump? There is nothing wrong, and they can do a great job for you, is if you're having someone take your trees down, to let them grind it out with a stump grinder. Usually they can grind to below soil level, and as a result, you can cover that back up with soil, and I won't say you'll never know there was a stump there, but it'll be greatly reduced. So how do you do it? If you don't have the tools, if you're doing the cutting yourself, if it wasn't a 16-inch tree and in fact was only a 4-incher, the common thread here is cutting it flush as you can safely get or as you can physically reach. You take about a half-inch drill bit in your battery-powered drill and you drill it as many holes as you can safely drill into that stump. I don't have to be straight up and down. I don't have to be through the core or the middle, just as many holes as you can safely get into it. You're going to get a good dry fertilizer. Cottonseed meal, the 824 product's very good. Nature's Creation makes a 612. Medina, Growing Green, dry fertilizer. And you're going to take that fertilizer and you're going to fill every one of the holes you drilled. You're going to moisten that fertilizer. You want it to stay in the hole, so don't just blast it with the hose. Slow drip until you get all of that fertilizer good and wet. You may get lucky because drilling into the core, the crown and the roots, there's going to be moisture there for you. So you may wind up letting the tree wet the fertilizer itself. What's going to happen is you have provided food, water, and shelter to the very funguses that eat wood. Now, this isn't a risk to your home. This is only attacking the tree stump you're trying to get rid of. Wood is full of products like cellulose and lignin. And in the biological world, these are two of the hardest things for nature to break down. This is why we make houses out of wood. Because if you simply cut the wood and you dry it properly, that wood can last you 50 years or longer. There's 1,000-year-old temples in Japan built from a single tree. That's why wood is so hard to break down. That's why we use it as a building material. So what you're doing is the very natural biological critters, the bacteria and fungi, that can break down wood. By drilling those holes, putting in that fertilizer, putting in that water, you're creating an environment for those things to explode. They got everything they need, food, water, shelter. And as a result, a burst of these various fungi and bacteria means you got a whole bunch of the guys who are going to chew down that stump for you with no input on your part. I mean, you take 30 minutes, you drill the holes, you fill them with fertilizer, you get it wet, and you're done for a while. This will not work overnight. So let's get that off the table immediately. But 6 months from now, that stump should be rotted. Yeah, you should be able to take like a shovel or, you know, maybe a hand trowel and drive it into pieces of the stump and break out sections of the rotted wood. And before you know it, you've removed a stump with a minimal amount of effort. This is not an immediate solution. Like I said, this does not work overnight, but it does work. You don't have to go get the stump remover stuff. It's simply super high nitrogen, and it's not necessary. If you've got a fertilizer you use on your turf, or you got a fertilizer you're using right now on, well, I don't know, your leafy greens, that's probably a fine fertilizer to use to pile into the holes in the stump in an effort to get rid of it. So you may have everything you need already. You just need some patience. And you can do like Bob mentioned. Bob cut his a little taller, so he's got a handle. And in a few weeks or months, he may be able to walk out there and grab the taller stump and wiggle it back and forth. And who knows, it may pull completely out of the ground because the roots have rotted. But to attack the problem and to try to get the fastest resolution to it, cut it flush, drill the holes, pack with fertilizer, wet it down, and let nature take her course. That'll get rid of that stump for you. Let's go to the phone. This is Mary. Good morning, Mary. What can I help you with?
Well, I just have something that I found, and maybe it's always been around, and I'll tell you how it was. Two springs ago, I planted those sweet potato vines, you know, those decorative ones.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Okay. So then it froze. We had a hard winter, of course, and I thought, okay, well, they're gone. So I bought three more last spring and had a real nice spread and everything. Well, what I started cleaning just a few days ago, and what I found were the actual fruit of a sweet potato, a yam. Is that how it's supposed to be?
No, that's not the fruit.
Well, I know it's not edible, but I mean, it's a big, looks like a sweet potato.
Yeah, and
out
it's
of the
above ground, right? It is above ground, right?
Correct. It's popping out, yeah.
Yeah, one is not equal to the other. We're talking an entirely different plant.
Yes.
Excuse me. So you do not want to eat that, but
oh,
you
yeah,
can
I know that, but
I've
never experienced that before. Is that the norm? I mean, usually it has.
Yes, it is. It is the norm, and
oh,
you can
wow.
lift that out of the soil and plant that somewhere if you want to get a new vine.
Uh huh. Wow, I've never experienced, I guess because before I've always put them in pots, you know, and then they would die or whatever. But I have them on the ground, and then I had a real good spread. They came back up, and then this year, this last spring, I planted three more, and I had a beautiful, you know, spread of them and giving things away to neighbors, as always. But I thought that was really strange to see that. So if that's the norm, I guess that's okay, you know.
Yes, it is. That is normally how it would reproduce.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I thought maybe it was just something new that came up. And I, you know, all right. Thank you so much. I appreciate your help.
Yes, ma'am. Thanks for the call, Mary. Yeah, this is the vine you do in a basket. This is not the vine that produces tubers to eat. So don't try them. Folks, this is Gardening Naturally. We're up against a break. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. So we're dealing with cold weather right now. What should we be worried about? Well, right now, I think it's less the cold and it's more the drought conditions. Yeah, we're on the edge of drought again. Now, well, who knows? We're supposed to get an inch of rain on Monday. I'm supposed to win the lottery tonight. Which one's going to come first? So we're going to hope that, generally speaking, the area you're in gets some rain. The discussion is for half an inch to an inch overall, and those are two really good numbers. Less than half an inch, well, that's really not enough to do a huge difference in the drought. And more than an inch is just going to be runoff for us. So if we're in that window, that's pretty good. And hopefully it won't all come in like a 5-minute time period, and it'll take a while for it to rain, like maybe half a day. That would be a nice slow soaking. Don't forget, it's cold out. Plants need less water. Because it's cold out, that doesn't mean we don't water at all. They still need water. So, this weekend, if you haven't watered in a while, go stick your fingers in the dirt. Go find out how dry is it and how deep is that dryness. If you stick your fingers in the dirt 2 inches and it's bone dry, you need to water before it rains. If you stick your fingers in the dirt and 2 inches down, it's like there's moisture there. It's not dry. You're good to go. If we don't get rain on Monday, you may need to water. But that's kind of the guideline we're trying to go by here. In cooler weather, plants need less water. When they need less water, it's really easy to overwater them. You can water them perfectly for 9 o'clock in the morning at the temperature it is and the needs of the plant. But by the end of the day, the plant's needs could have changed enough that that's too much water or not enough water. So check your plants out. See if, in fact, the soil is dry or the soil is still moist. It'll make a difference. Let's go to the phone. This is Jeff. Good morning, Jeff. What can I help you with?
Hey, Jeff. It's Jeff.
Jeff.
I'm really, you know, find the stump talk very, very interesting, and I think it's a great way of being able to do that. But I have a question. Your thoughts on doing that with a crepe myrtle? It's fairly old. I've got some big branches sticking up, and I want to get rid of it because it's just too close to the house. And you know how if you cut a crepe myrtle off down at the ground, you know how it wants to send up all the water spouts all the way around, you know, the big base, you know. Do you think it would work well on a crepe myrtle?
Yes and no. Isn't that a great answer? I should be a lawyer.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's gardening.
Yeah, here's the deal. Yes, the principle is still the same. Simply cutting it flush won't be enough, though. Like I said, you'll have to come by once a week depending on the aggressiveness, maybe once every 2 weeks. You may get lucky. And you're going to have to go out there with pruners or loppers or whatever and cut any new growth flush. Now, you don't have to sit out there daily and monitor the growth, but at least once a week, maybe once every 2 weeks. No leaves, no food, no plants. Now, crepe myrtles have an incredible root system that can store a lot of energy. This is going to go on for a while. But if you can attack the crown, cut it flush, drill the holes, get the biology to start rotting it out, you will probably have less healthy response from the plant, and you may be able to be successful quicker. Now, okay. I've not had problems getting rid of a crepe myrtle, but try to get rid of a Yaupon holly. That's just, I swear, that's impossible.
Yeah, I've got one of those, and I'm just thinking about just moving it. But there again, it's, they're not fragile at all. They're pretty hardy. So, but, okay. Well, I'll look at that because I can always, you know, hit it with, the vinegars and that type of stuff. I just don't want to get into, I know even if I remove the base and some of the roots coming out, I know that crepe myrtle is going to come out at different places and just have to keep it, cut back.
Now, when I took out my Yaupon, let me tell you, that was a whole lot more work than Jeff normally does, okay? But what I was able to do, and I used my garden hose as sort of like a water spade, an air spade would blast air.
Right.
I put a really good jet nozzle on it, and I tried to rinse as much dirt away as I could from the crown of the Yaupon so that I was exposing some of the runner branches of the roots and was able to actually get underneath the crown with my reciprocating saw. So I took little small chunks, and I was in no particular hurry, but I was able to cut out so much of that crown that even the leftover roots that I missed, they couldn't help it. And it died. I've got a spot where there was one, and it hasn't come back since I've managed that. Like I said, that's a whole lot of work yet, and it's a lot more work than I particularly plan on doing again. But the jet stream of water was able to expose enough roots, and my recip saw did a fine job of reaching down into the dirt to really cut that loose. So you may want to consider that if you really want that plant gone. The more crown you can remove, the less plant can come back.
Well, I was just going to get my power washer out and put it on the stream once I kind of got everything cleared back away from it and get in there and basically blast it out with that and then let the water soak down, dry out, and just take several weeks to do it.
Sounds like a plan. I just don't have the power washer, but I did get a nozzle for my garden hose that improves the streaming. So that's, I think the power washer is going to be a great idea and really get rid of that dirt around there for you so you can cut it out. Still going to be work, still going to be messy, but if you can cut out that crown from its roots, it won't return. Folks, this is Gardening Naturally. Jeff, sorry we did drop you. I hope you got that. We're coming up at the bottom of the hour. Top of the hour. And we need to take a break for the news. We will catch you all on the other side.